It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in the scroll. But these signs or these things were written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name.
The word of God for the people of God. Will you all pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was still the first day of a new week. While all the Easter treats, including my favorite Peeps, are now on sale, all the plastic Easter eggs are paired and put away for the season, friends, Easter is still happening. It's Easter still. It's not just a day, it's a whole season. It's a vibe. It keeps going. It's a movement. It continues. John's story of new creation lives on. It's still on the move. From last week's dramatic tomb raiding by Mary and Peter and John to this week's story, this time check, the first day of a new week, is a really powerful reminder to us that Easter is not an event that has happened, but a celebration of a powerful new reality that continues to gain ground and to permeate, making all things new. The resurrected Jesus shows up in the middle of his friends, in the middle of us. But that center is a roving center. It's going out to find even those who are gathered in fear behind closed doors. It's Easter still. Whether at that disconcertingly insecure tomb where sin and death were raided, or at the safe house where that death defiance hasn't yet been transmitted. They don't quite know yet what's going on. It's Easter still then, and it's Easter still now here, in a world still prone to the same old ideas about locking down and locking out in order to create safety and certainty. It's Easter still, even in a time of war where apparently we haven't yet heard or breathed in the peace spoken about or given by this resurrected Prince of Peace. Jesus disturbs and disrupts their effort at creating an environment for peace by entering in, by walking through a wall or a locked door and speaking, "Peace. Peace be with you." Isn't this the way? It seems that one of Jesus' most urgent tasks is to transform those places and those situations in our world and in our lives, characterized by words from the prophet Jeremiah as peace, peace, where there is no peace. We often cover over no peace with a thin veneer of peace. But since it's Easter still, no false security will do. I'm not sure what is a more accurate portrayal, that the enemy is now less vicious, like a snake defanged, or that pseudo-peace, that impulse towards protection, was never going to fly anyways, never going to give the good news of the coming kingdom enough air and breath and sounding anyways. Easter reminds us that locking ourselves away, even in a time of crisis and disorientation, and I'm sure the disciples were experiencing crisis and disorientation following the death of their friend, locking away is like putting the antidote into a safe, putting a light under a bushel basket, even for the most real and serious reasons. To do that is to threaten the whole venture. A theologian, Emil Brunner, once said that the church exists for mission like fire for the burning. That can only happen out in the open, because once you snuff it, it goes out. This is the nature of God's people, blessed to be a blessing, even and especially in the midst of persecution or fear. This was Israel's identity and story. This is the story that Jesus gathered around himself on the cross. And this is the story that we convene and participate in and enact and share on a weekly basis around the word and the table. God's word going forth and not returning void, planting and growing good things, and us experiencing liberation through Jesus' body broken and his blood poured out. So Jesus shows up, and it's the first day of a new week, still Easter. And he speaks, and he says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So now in this Easter still, we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. We're given everything that we need. The Spirit who has lived with the Father and Son for eternity and who breathes life, like new life, into dry bones. Do we remember that story? We're told that the same Spirit, that new life into dry bones, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives now in us, among us, through us. This Spirit will give life to our human bodies the same way it gave life to Jesus' human body. Easter calls us and equips us in this unguarded reality of the presence of Jesus and the peace in that presence. It challenges all of our efforts and all of our ideas of creating peace on our own. Because we're not on our own. We're not alone. The risen Jesus, by the Spirit, is with us. Last Sunday on Easter, Pope Leo shared in his homily something along these lines as well. I think it's beautiful. He says, "The Lord is alive and remains with us. Through the cracks of resurrection that open up the darkness, he entrusts our hearts to the hope that sustains us, that the power of death is not the final destiny of our lives." So that's the first part. Peace, where there was no peace. Now the second part. Here comes Thomas. I always feel like a lot of need to like rehabilitate Thomas for us. There's some wonderful art around Thomas. Most of these are called like the Incredulity of Thomas. He's just there, like, poking Jesus in the side. You go to another one. Oh, this is the most famous one by Caravaggio. And you might imagine, like, this is, like, A, kind of gross and unsanitary. B, like, very intimate, right? Like, go to the next one. It's, like, very intimate portrayal of Thomas encountering this Jesus who has risen. What an unfortunate nickname Doubting Thomas is. Does anyone have a nickname that they like or that they hate that they want to share? Anyone? Breaking that wall, and I can see people writhing and cowering in their seats. I saw a friend yesterday. You can share that during potluck. That's a great icebreaker for your table. Or you can make one up for someone that you don't know well. I saw a friend yesterday from college days. I probably haven't seen this guy in 20 years. And I automatically referred to him by the nickname that we had for him at Christian camp. And he laughed and he smiled. But apparently no one in his life now still refers to him that way. His 11-year-old daughter was really confused. What do you mean you don't call your 40-year-old dad Juice, you know? But Thomas, getting called Doubting Thomas is maybe even a little more questionable. I mean, if anything, Thomas's main fault here seems that he's late. He's late to the party. They'd all seen and met and encountered Jesus, and then Thomas joins the party. Thomas gets this glowing early report from them. They say, "We've seen the Lord." I feel a little for him. Like, of all the things, he gets this cruel nickname. Aside from this one story that takes place a week after Jesus died and now apparently rose, we don't have that much of a reason to consider Thomas especially doubtful. I mean, can anyone blame Thomas here? Maybe a better nickname for Thomas is actually in the text. Doubting is not. Noah read, and she asked me how to especially pronounce it. And as the rule with most scripture readings, like, just be confident. No one will probably know. But it says, Thomas, named Didymus. That word is a word for twin. We don't exactly know. There's some speculation about who Thomas's actual twin was. I think he probably had, like, an actual twin. We have some awesome twins in our youth group. But we also know that a detail like this gets put into the story or purposed into the story to maybe tell something special on multiple levels or to open up a new world to us. Maybe at some level, Thomas the twin helps represent kind of the two people Thomas is carrying at all times. There's, like, easily faithful Thomas, and then there's, like, less consenting faithful Thomas, right? The believer and the doubter, these two people in one person. I mean, we look at it. You can go this week. Go to the Gospel of John. Look for Thomas. You'll find Thomas at the event with Lazarus. Interesting. A resurrection or a resuscitation or a pre-resurrection event, Thomas is there. Thomas chimes in, "Let us go also that we might die with him." Or, yeah, that's pretty eager, right? That's not especially doubtful. Or a couple chapters later in John 14, Thomas freely questions. Jesus comforts his disciples, comforts Thomas. Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. How will we know the way?" That's a question, but that's a pretty, like, willful question. "We want to go with you. We don't know how to. Help us." And Jesus responds, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you also know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Have seen him. Thomas seems to really have a knack for setting Jesus up for these big moments of revelation. His one extra question, he's that person who asks one extra question, and his mixture of curiosity and desire to be hands-on is like a great combination for Jesus to work with. Jesus can improvise with these yes ands. Jesus can bring about more knowledge. Thomas's experience can show us what an experience with Jesus looks like. Jesus always plays along. And this continues after this closed door encounter for Thomas the twin. He's eager to follow Jesus, and he would even die for Jesus. He wants to know the way. Jesus shows him the way. Eventually, Thomas goes to India and becomes known as the patron saint of India. After doing quite a bit of ministry there, he eventually dies while being a minister of Jesus to the people in India. Thomas the twin shows us this mode of faith seeking understanding, faith that wants to be hands-on, faith that will follow Jesus even unto death. And it is not a solid or calcified faith, but it is a dynamic, trusting faith. Martin Luther, of all people, talks about this kind of faith. That faith, he says, faith can neither be stationary nor complete. Faith is never stationary nor complete. Faith always becomes. The one, he says, and this is really challenging, he says, the one who is a Christian, like full stop, complete, he says, is no Christian at all. Our faith always follows Jesus and always grows and becomes. I love perhaps the most gracious to Thomas in his journey are artists, like we saw, and poets. And so I want to share a beautiful poem, a sonnet that Malcolm Guite wrote for St. Thomas. It's called Grace for Those Who Doubt. Maybe this is you this morning, so hear this good news and hear this blessing. We do not know, how can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question. You spoke the words the others dared not say and cut through their evasion and abstraction. O doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things. We cannot love some disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him and find him in the flesh, because he loved your awkward counterpoint. The word has heard and granted you your wish. O place my hands with yours, help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. The wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. It doesn't seem to faze Jesus that Thomas needs to touch. Jesus offers himself up for Thomas, offers his wounds, his scars that still exist. When we see Jesus, we don't see some pristine new body, but a new body in the very place of the old with the very marks of suffering. And Jesus responds to Thomas. He replied to them, "Do you believe because you see?" And offers a blessing. Happy are those who don't see and yet believe. Then Jesus did other miraculous signs in their presence, signs that aren't recorded. But these things are written so that you will believe Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. Friends, this morning, as we celebrate Easter still, the goal is to make our homes in this peace, to have our lives remade and renewed by the reality that love has overcome hate. Peace has overcome violence. Joy has overcome sorrow, and life has eternally and always and forever overcome sin and death, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. This happened, not metaphorically or theoretically or poetically, but bodily. This is good news, especially good news for folks like us with bodies. Bodies that ache, bodies that don't perform like they used to, bodies that are sometimes participating in sickness and in death. But thanks to folks like Thomas who have received this new intel with their hearts, but also with their eyes and with their hands, may we also receive our risen Lord when he comes among us. May we believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and walking in that belief, have new and durable and everlasting life in his name. And friends, may we share that good news, that gospel, in this sad and beautiful world that is being made new. May y'all pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the peace that you've spoken over us and over this violent world. We thank you for the spirit that you have breathed into us that we might have new life. And we thank you that you have been raised from the dead and you stand not over us or against us, but right in our midst, and invite us to share in your wounds that we might share in your resurrection. Lord, let us also with you be wounded healers in our neighborhood, in our families, in our world. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.